Turn in your Bibles, please, to Matthew chapter 16, and we'll get into the Word. Matthew chapter 16. Let's pray. Father, we thank you for the morning. We thank you for what you're doing here by your Spirit. Holy Spirit, we thank you that you're here to meet our every need. And as we look into your Word now, we not only hear the message that I've prepared, but Holy Spirit, you speak individually to each heart. You give answers, you give solutions, you give wisdom, you give clarity. For your Word is a lamp unto our feet, a light unto our path. In Jesus' name we receive it. Amen.
Amen.
Amen. Matthew 16:13, please. When Jesus came to the region of Caesarea Philippi, he asked his disciples, "Who do people say the Son of Man is?" They replied, "Some say John the Baptist, others say Elijah, and still others Jeremiah or one of the prophets." "But what about you?" he asked. "Who do you say I am?" Simon Peter answered, "You are the Christ, the Son of the living God." Jesus replied, "Blessed are you, Simon, son of Jonah, for this was not revealed to you by man, but by my Father in heaven. And I tell you that you are Peter," so he changed his name right there, "on this rock I will build my church, and the gates of Hades will not overcome it. I will give you the keys of the kingdom of heaven. Whatever you bind on earth will be bound in heaven. Whatever you loose on earth will be loosed in heaven." Then he warned his disciples not to tell anyone that he was the Christ. He always did that because he didn't need man spreading his identity. That was done by the Holy Spirit and by power. Amen? Praise the Lord. Well, that's a good word, isn't it?
Amen.
Okay, we're done. Just kidding. Just kidding. No, we're not done. We're just getting warmed up. When Terry and I were in Israel last summer, we went to this place, Caesarea Philippi, and it was kind of cool because we were really exhausted and hot by that point. I think we had done the hike at Golan Heights that morning, went 2.5 miles out on this plateau to look at what is their version of Stonehenge. You ever heard of Stonehenge in England? A big formation of rocks. They don't know how they got there, don't know how people lifted them up, you know, like they didn't have cranes back then, at least a lot like we know cranes. And so, you know, in Israel, on the Golan Heights, they have this circular formation of rocks, 600 feet in diameter. You can see it from the sky. People send drones up now. They'll go out there and they'll stand right in the middle of the circle, send a drone up way high in the sky and take a picture looking down. And you can see this huge circle. The rocks are stacked this high up to a man's chin. They're big rocks like bowling balls. They say there's over 50,000 stones. These are like volcanic stones. And it's up on this flat plateau on the Golan Heights, like in the middle of nowhere. It's like, who toted all these bowling balls up to this plateau and then set this formation in place? And it's a concentric circle. You know, it gets smaller and smaller from the inside. It looks like a maze. You can Google this on Google. Just say rock formation Golan Heights, and you'll see it. It's got like a big circle from the sky. Anyways, it was a ritualistic site. They say it's as old as the Wall of China. It's 5,000-6,000 years old, this particular site. And there was a ritualistic burial ground in the center of the circle. Now, we didn't climb in and work our way to the center of the circle. There's a lot of weeds, and they were concerned. The tour guide was concerned about snakes, and I was too. So I was fine to stay on the outer perimeter, but it took us about 2.5 hours to hike in. 2.5 miles. It felt like 2.5 hours in the sun, Israeli sun, summer sun. Anyways, we went to that site. Now, so that site was not, and then later that day, we went to Caesarea Philippi, where this story takes place. And there's beautiful, lush vegetation. There's fig trees. We sat under this big, beautiful, I think it was a fig tree. It looked like a fig tree to me, big fig leaves. And there's waterfalls nearby. And there's a mountain nearby. Well, it's like a small mountain rock kind of formation. You've seen Ayers Rock in Australia, you know, that big rock out in the middle of nowhere. This is like a mini version of that. And there was a cave at the base of that rock. Now, the cave opening was as big as, you know, from the screen to the door. I meant to have a picture, we just couldn't get the computer to behave this morning. I was going to show you a picture. Maybe I'll bring it next week. But in this cave, they would sacrifice babies and children to the god of Pan. It was a really demonic, sacrificial site. That's where Jesus throws down his picnic blanket to have a little chat with his fellows, and he's saying what we just read here in Matthew 16. He's in the jaws of the dragon as he's declaring, "The gates of hell will not prevail against my church." He's sitting there right near this cave where all this ritualistic behavior, worship to the god of Pan that the Romans did right there in Israeli turf. And then not far away is this rock formation on the Golan Heights. Who knows what bizarre kind of rituals went on there. Demonic stuff in the air. And Jesus says, "Ain't scared. I'm here to establish my kingdom. The gates of hell will not prevail against it. What you bind on earth will be bound in the heavenly realms. What you loose on earth will be loosed in the heavenly realms. How many of you know when heaven gets behind our authority, whoo, things move. Things change. Amen? Now, I want to dissect these verses just a little bit, if I may. Look at verse 16. Simon Peter answered, "You are the Christ." You know, Christ is not Jesus' last name. The word Christ means the anointed one. The anointed one. What Peter is saying here is that Jesus, you're neither Elijah, you're not one of these prophets raised to life, which would be pretty cool. I mean, in their day, you know, the children of Israel had always had prophets that were inspired by God, prophets who came to them with the word of God. So if they had, if Jesus had been John the Baptist raised back to life, or he had been Elijah or Jeremiah come back to life, that would be exciting, right? I mean, it'd be exciting to hear a fresh word from a prophet, but that's not who he was. He was the Christ. And to the people of his day, that word Christ denoted one thing, Messiah. Messiah, which meant he was there to save. It's real simple. He's your lifeguard. He's your savior. So when they said, when Peter said, "You're the Christ," he said, he was in effect saying, "You're it. We're not waiting for any more signs, no more wonders, no more Isaiahs, no more Jeremiahs, no more Old Testament prophets to come along and declare one more prophecy about the one who is to come. You're the one. You're the one who was to come." That's what in effect Peter was saying. You're it. You're the all. You're the one. And Jesus stops and he says, "Blessed." Now, I hope you'll highlight that, circle that in your Bible. We're a church that believes in marking in our Bibles. So bring your crayons, your highlighters, your pens. Mark your Bibles. That way when you go back, you can see these things. Amen. "Blessed are you, Simon, son of Barjona." Blessed. Let me tell you something, saints. One of the greatest blessings, I'm not sure I'm ready to say the greatest blessing, but one of the greatest blessings you and I can enjoy in this life is revelation truth. It's a blessing. Say blessing. Blessing. Revelation is a blessing. Revelation knowledge is a blessing from God. And when it comes, Jesus declared here, he said, "This didn't just come from you. You didn't get this from man. It came from my Father." How many of you ever had the Father give you a revelation? You're reading your Bible and something leaps out at you. You have that light bulb moment. That's called revelation truth. And the Father's illuminating truth to you. Oh, saints, that's precious. Make note of it. Write it in your margin. This today, this is what God spoke to me from this verse. Write it in your journal. That's precious. And Jesus said, "You're blessed, Peter." In fact, today, from this day forward, your identity is even changing. This is how radical this truth is. How many of you know, when you meet the Christ, when you meet and discover who Jesus is as your Savior, yesterday I got a new mark in my staff. Amen. February 16th, God saves Scott's life, according to Psalm 145:19, between the wedge and the hard place. I got a new mark in my staff. When Jesus reveals himself afresh to you, it's a blessing. Amen. It's a blessing. It's more precious than gold. It's more precious than gold. And Jesus said, "Upon this rock." What was he referring to there? Did he mean Peter? Well, the Catholic Church teaches that he meant Peter. On Peter the man, I'm going to build my church. Well, there's some truth to that. I'll agree to some extent. Book of Acts, chapter 2. Who preached the first sermon out of the gate with the Holy Ghost all over him? Peter. 3,000 got saved. The church began. Amen? So God did start building his church on Peter. The Catholics have it somewhat right. Amen? But it didn't end there. The overlying truth that Jesus is saying is, upon this rock of revelation, who I am as the Christ. Yes. Did you know there are religions, and I'm sure Nadine, you bumped into this here and there as you're witnessing in Asia. There are religions out there, especially in the Asian world, India. If you try to take Jesus to them, you'll often hear them say, "Oh, we like Jesus. Okay, we'll put him on the shelf along with our other 235,000 gods." Or, "He's a great prophet." You know, the Muslims declare that they concede that Jesus may have been a prophet like Moses. But no, Peter declares here, "You're the Christ. You're the one." And you can always tell when the devil's at work in someone's heart and they haven't surrendered their life fully to Jesus yet, because they're not ready to say, "He's the one." It's a telltale sign. See, that Romans says,
If they confess with their mouth the Lord Jesus and believe in their heart God raised him from the dead, they shall be saved. Amen? In other words, confessing who he is and what happened. He died and he rose from the dead because he's the Son of God. He's the Christ. It's not just his last name. It means the anointed one. It means God put his hand. When we say anointing, that's not something we relate to in our modern... we're so glad to have you all back, by the way, puppies. They were in New Mexico last week. I meant to say that. Welcome back. I hope we missed you dearly. But when God put his hand on Jesus, God put his hand on Jesus to fulfill his name. His name means Jehovah saves. And so Jesus Christ means he's anointed. God's hand is on him to save. That's what he comes to do. That's what he comes to do. Oh, let's go further. So it wasn't just on Peter, the man, God was going to build his church. And even I'll go a step further. It's not just on the revelation of who Jesus Christ is, but it's on this idea. And I want to bring this out to you today. The name of my message today is Right Now Revelation. Right Now Revelation. You see, in that moment, the Holy Spirit, released from the Father, revealed to Peter who Jesus was. Peter had a moment of right now revelation. Fresh revelation, we call that. And this is also what Jesus means when he's saying to Peter, upon this rock I will build my church. He's saying, upon fresh revelation from the Father. Okay? And what I mean by this, let me give you an example. A church could, say, 50 years ago, have acknowledged verbally and from their hearts, Jesus is the Christ. How many of you got saved in a church that believed Jesus is your Savior? But they may not have gone much further than that. They may not have gone much further into revelation. They may not have embraced the idea that the Holy Spirit is for today. The gifts are for today. God can move through us today. In fact, they may not allow you, if you stood up in church and said, hey, I got a word from the Lord, they might have ushered you out real quietly because they didn't want a fresh revelation today. But Jesus said, upon fresh revelation to today, I will build my church. And that's why we always got to stay on our toes. He keeps us on our toes, doesn't he? We can't build this church on yesterday's revelation. We have to have right now revelation every week, week after week, a fresh thing like we sang about today, more to come. Amen. Last week was great, but let's keep pressing forward. Amen? More to come. Fresh revelation. And Jesus said in verse 19, he said this. I want to read it to you this way. I will give you the keys of the kingdom, and whatever you bind by revelation on earth will be bound in heaven. Whatever you loose by revelation on earth will be loosed in heaven. In other words, God will reveal to you in the moment, in the now, what needs to be bound. God will reveal to you in the moment, in the now, what needs to be loosed. Some of you got a real good dose of that last week with Dr. Paula Burke. God would speak to her as she prayed for you and told her what to bind, what to loose, what to break off you. The word picture the Lord gave us this week was a wrecking ball. Terry had a real insightful encounter over at Baybrook Mall as she was waiting in traffic and she heard this loud boom, boom. At first she thought it was a Tyrannosaurus Rex coming her way, but then she looked over and she saw a crane was hitting this old vault that was part of a bank they were demolishing, and it was hitting this 10 by 10 or so room that might have been the vault or something, or the ATM machine, she wasn't sure, but this wrecking ball was hitting the cement over and over, and it was making this loud boom, boom. And it was a word picture God gave her before the Dr. Paula Burt meeting to show us what God was going to do in our lives. Amen? And some of you got the devil's works wrecked off your life. Hey, can you say amen to that? We had some real good testimonies. You can go back Wednesday night. We shared some of those testimonies. It's on the website. So Sister Linda got a good healing in her neck. Praise the Lord. The wrecking ball was here. There was a dear brother named Brother Fox who during the Azusa Street revival, which happened back in 1906 to 1909, it's about 3.5 years, day after day, these miraculous meetings that happened on Azusa Street in California. And so many of you have heard about it, and she's reading a book about it right now. And this man named Brother Fox said he gathered a classroom full of deaf students. This lady brought her deaf student class to his meeting for prayer for healing. And of course he looked at her, he's thinking, well, you're going to be out of a job when I get done. Because she's an interpreter, you know, sign language person. And so he tells her to gather the students in a circle and hold hands. And she's kind of standing back. And he says, I won't need you. She makes a comment and he says, oh, I see you don't believe. So why don't you stand over there? I won't be needing you for this. And so he goes up to the first student. And as he had been trained and taught by the Lord and by following, learning to hear the voice of the Holy Spirit over and over again, he knew what to do. He knew what to listen for, and he knew how to minister healing. And so he walked up to the first student, and he whispered in there, you deaf spirit, you mute spirit, come out of them in the name of Jesus. Just a whisper. And he said he would hear, when the Holy Spirit would work through him in this way, he would hear this popping sound and this swirling sound. And the next thing you know, that spirit would be out of that person, and they'd start talking. Well, the first person in the circle got excited, and they're starting to blabber. They don't know how to talk. Of course, they've never been able to talk normal because they can't hear. And so they start talking, but the others in the group see the excitement. And before long, they boom, 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 like dominoes around the circle, start getting healed one after the other, one after the other, one after the other. What was happening? He had a fresh revelation in the moment to know what to do in the situation to wreck hell's works in these people's lives. And that's what Jesus is talking about in Matthew 16. Whatever you bind by revelation. In other words, you don't do this out of your brain. You don't go up and pray for someone. Listen, if you're ever asked to pray for your sick neighbor, your sick coworkers, sick anybody around you, don't operate from your brain. Ask from here. Say, Holy Spirit, what? Amen. And he'll show you. Amen. And once you have that revelation, then you move forward and the kingdom of God comes. Amen. That's what Jesus is talking about. What you bind by revelation, what you loose by revelation. In other words, you've heard my voice. You know what to do in the situation. Power will be released. And that's how the kingdom comes. Can you say amen?
Amen.
It's a funny story. I think I saw it on a cartoon once. That may have been a story. I don't know. I like pictures. Pictures is how I think. But this man, in this story or joke or picture, whatever it was I saw, this man walks in and there's this huge machine in a manufacturing plant. And the guy says, he says, our machine's not working. And the guy says, okay. He walks in, opens his tool bag, takes out a big old heavy-headed hammer, and walks over to the machine, gives it a hefty whack, right there. Machine starts working. Puts his hammer away, says, that'll be $500, please. And the guy says, for hitting my machine? And he goes, no, for knowing where to hit it. You see, the expert knows where to hit it. If you look at all the miracles that have been done in history in the church, the great things that have been wrought in people receiving healings and miracles, things like that happen. Smith Wigglesworth sometimes would be known to punch someone in their stomach. And of course, they'd fall down at first, almost, you know, gasping. They might get up off the floor with a tumor removed out of their body. Because by revelation, he knew how to address that demonic spirit that had bound that person with infirmity and with sickness. Now, I don't advise that when people are in your prayer line for healing, you just go down the line and punch everybody in the stomach, unless the Holy Spirit tells you to do so, okay? But like the man in the story, if you know where to hit, boy, you're worth your weight in gold. Because people are crying out, amen? People are crying out for answers. This is why we took the time, the effort, to fly down dear Sister Paula and her husband, Brother Daniel, to come, because we felt like, and we'd seen a minister, we knew these are people that know where to hit. They're worth their weight in gold because they know where to hit. They've got a listening ear. They can hear by the Holy Spirit and know where to hit. And they can break off from people's lives the devil's works. Amen? That's the kingdom coming. That's the kingdom coming. Look over in Jeremiah 23. Jeremiah 23. Shared this verse Wednesday night, but it bears repeating. Jeremiah 23, verse 29. This is what Jesus wants to do in you and I all the time. Did you know that? Jesus said, it's my Father's good pleasure. Well, you turn to Jeremiah 23. I just got to preach a little bit. Well, it's my Father's good pleasure to give you the kingdom. It's your right as a child of God to have the kingdom in your life all the time.
That's right.
Got a plumbing issue in the house? Ask the Father. He'll show you where to hit. Got a child that needs a little, you know, you need a little parental wisdom in dealing with a situation? Ask the Holy Spirit. He'll show you where to hit. Now, I mean that symbolically. You don't hit. But he'll show you where to hit the machine, okay? He'll show you the right way to address the situation so that the kingdom comes. How many of you know there's a right way to discipline a child? There's a right and a wrong way to do it. But the kingdom can come as we listen to the Holy Spirit, as we have that right now revelation and we know what to do. God wants to show you what to do in every situation.
Amen.
Listen, it's not out of reason to pray about everything. Did you know that? The Bible says, be not wise in your own eyes, fear the Lord, and depart from evil. What is evil? Well, evil's not just going out and robbing a bank and committing murder. Evil's man going about his own way apart from God. Did you know that's evil?
That's right.
The Bible calls that evil. Jesus said, those that don't know him, he calls them, depart from me, you workers of iniquity. Workers of iniquity mean people do it their own way. You know, that guy sang about it years ago. I did it my way.
Yeah.
Okay. But that's not our calling as children
right.
of God. Amen.
Amen.
We're called to do it his way. I love this testimony that Nadine shared about her trip. As she shared, you know what I heard? I heard this. My yoke is easy. My burden is light. Listen, when you go to the mission field, you don't go in your own strength. You're oiled by the Holy Ghost.
Amen.
You just go. And you drop Holy Ghost bombs everywhere you go. You throw Holy Ghost grenades. You bless people. If you're following the Holy Spirit, you come back and you say things like Nadine said. It was like a vacation.
Yeah.
Amen.
Amen.
Why? Because you're not going in your own strength. T.L. Osborne years ago went to India and was greatly discouraged at first. He came back. He was about ready to quit. Why? Because he was trying to lead people to Jesus in these big outdoor meetings in his own strength. When he went back the next time and took back the Holy Ghost and the healing power of Jesus with him, well, boy, that was like all that he needed. You know, the masses came to Jesus. Why? Because he wasn't doing it in his own strength. Jeremiah 23. That was just while you were getting to Jeremiah 23. I think you're all there now. Jeremiah 23, 29. Is not my word like a fire, says the Lord, and like a what? Like a what? A hammer that breaks the rock in pieces. Hallelujah. If you're following the voice of the Lord, if you're listening and hearing that right now revelation, God's word in that situation will be a fire to consume the works of Satan. It will be a hammer to break off of people's life everything they need that is holding them down. Amen? A right now word, a right now revelation can consume the works of Satan, can destroy the works of Satan, like that wrecking ball that Terry saw hitting the ATM machine or the vault, whatever it was. That's what you and I are called to bring. We're not called to take this gospel out there in a lost world in our own strength. No, 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 no. You need to do twice as much listening as you do talking. I need to do twice as much listening as I do talking. I need to pray in the Spirit about 20 times more than I open my mouth in English to try to tell somebody about Jesus. Can you hear me? Now, all right? It's why? Because as we're praying in the Spirit, as we're releasing the Holy Spirit, we're speaking the mysteries of God. And then when you pause, and later in the day, that revelation bubbles up within you. There's the word. There's the now revelation. There's the fire. There's the hammer that person's going to need in their life. When you speak, you open your mouth in English. Don't go in your own strength. We don't go in our own strength. We go in His power. Amen? And then His word will be like a fire. It will be like a hammer. And there's many times I get around lost people, and I just like, Jesus, I don't know what to say to him, but He does. And He can ask one question. Do you want to get well? Go and get your husband. Bring him back. You know, Jesus would say these powerful one-sentence things, but He said them by the power of the Holy Spirit. Like you said, I don't have a husband. And that opened the door. Yeah, I know you've had five, and the man you're with now is not your husband. And she's like, I see you're a prophet. Okay? Why? Because he spoke a word, go get your husband. One sentence. He spoke it by the Holy Spirit. It was fire. It was hammer. It was a spotlight on her life. And she went back to the town and said, come and see a man who told me everything I ever did. You have had five husbands. Five words, he told her. And she goes to town and says, he told me everything I ever did, my whole life. That's the Holy Ghost. See, that's what we need to lean on. If I can get you to grasp this, and me to grasp this. Jesus said, you're not going to build this kingdom on your own. Not even being as good as Peter was, good as preacher as Peter was. No, Peter, you need up-to-the-minute revelation. You need right now revelation. And on that revelation, you'll know what to bind, you'll know what to loose, and the kingdom will come. Hallelujah. Running into a wall at work? Ask the Father. He'll show you what to bind. He'll show you what to loose. Do you know what those words bind and loose mean? We've said this before, but I really want to hammer in, pun intended, I want to hammer in the meaning of that word. To bind means to forbid. It's a picture of a traffic cop putting up his hand and saying, no more, stop, hold it. When you know what to bind, you're in a sense in the spirit, you're saying, no more, Satan, hold it. And God is day by day showing us areas where we have allowed the devil into our life. Much of the evil we see in our world today is a result of what? The church has not brought the kingdom. The church has not known, because we haven't heard a now revelation. We haven't known what to bind or forbid or to put a halt to. We haven't known what to loose, what to unleash. You know, God's not just a God of thou shalt not. He's a God of thou shalt. Amen. He said, of every tree in the garden you may freely eat, just don't touch this one. Yeah, there's a whole lot more thou shalt than the thou shalt not. There was one thou shalt not tree, right? He said, thou shalt eat all this. And when the church starts loosening the earth, God ideas, God revelations, God tells you to start a donut shop, by all means, obey the Lord and go start a donut shop. And then let me know when it opens. Just kidding. Because God may use that donut shop to send missionaries all over the world. God may use that donut shop to lead people to Jesus. Sell them donuts and tell them about Jesus. Hey, you know, here's a little commercial. They didn't pay me to do this, but I'm going to do it. Because Terry and I had a great breakfast the other day at Red Oak Cafe in League City. Guess what? We're getting one here in Alvin. And it's phenomenal. It's great food. It's a little pricey, but it's great food. And it's a Christian atmosphere. They're playing worship music while you eat. I mean, does it get any better than that? So go out and support Red Oak Cafe. It'll be open March 1st. But see, somebody had a God idea. I'll make a restaurant. We'll serve really good food. It'll be family friendly. And we'll play Christian music while people eat. Ah. Wish they all did it. It's great. Go enjoy it. And go and do thou likewise. If God gives you a similar idea, go and do thou likewise. Why? Because if we're tuning in to heaven's frequencies, there's a whole lot of thou shalts that God's going to release into our lives. Can you say amen?
Amen.
Ezra chapter 6. First one to Ezra gets the gold star today. Ezra's before Psalms. So flip back to the middle of your Bible, a couple books back. Ezra chapter 6 and verse 14. Let me say this about Revelation truth while you're finding Ezra. Unless you have tabs. I see some of you have tabs in your Bible. The tabs are the cheaters. You can just grab the Ezra tab and you're right there. Revelation truth, like we're talking about, is as precious as a bottle of fresh spring water in the middle of the desert. Because when you need revelation truth, nothing else will do. Good ideas will fall by the wayside. Your own education. You know, on 9/11, 2001, gosh, you know, I heard on the radio yesterday, people are still in the middle of lawsuits for health reasons for all that stuff they breathe. We're almost 20 years down the road. Amazing. That 9/11 affected a lot, didn't it? And you know, there was people that got up that morning and something inside them said, stay home from work today for whatever reason. Revelation truth can save your life. It's not just about being blessed, getting Holy Ghost goosebumps. Revelation, not right now, revelation may save your life. And in many cases, the folks can testify, folks that were supposed to be in those towers that day, they were home by revelation of the Holy Ghost, and their lives were spared. Look at Ezra chapter 6, verse 14. The elders of the Jews continued to build and prosper. Say, build and prosper. Under the preaching of who? Haggai, the prophet, and Zechariah, a descendant of Iddo. They finished building the temple according to the command of the God of Israel and the decrees of Cyrus, Darius, and that guy, king of Persia. Listen, you want to finish what God's called you to finish in life, it's going to take some prophesying. It's going to take someone in your life, whether it's a Bible teacher that you listen to on CD in your car, if your car still has CD players. I'm in a rental car, it doesn't have a CD player. They don't put those in anymore. But they use all this other stuff. But, you know, if you listen to CDs, the prophesying, the preaching, what is prophecy? Prophecy is inspired preaching. It's the word going forth under inspiration. Amen? And the Bible says here, they continued to build and prosper under the preaching or prophesying of Haggai the prophet and Zechariah the son of Iddo. That word we shared with you a couple weeks back, in the Hebrew, that word, they prospered, it meant that they moved down the road. It means to advance. It means to move down the road. In other words, when the Holy Ghost speaks to you, and some of you got personal words spoken to you last week, it should have moved you down the road spiritually from where you were. It should have broken off chains that were holding you back from progress. And when that happens, when you take that revelation and run with it, the Bible says you'll complete what God's called you to do. That's what happened here. They finished the temple. They were rebuilding the temple because the first one got eaten up by the Babylonians. Okay, but they rebuilt the temple because of the prophesying of Haggai and Zechariah. Anointed preaching will set you down the road. It will get you rolling. It will move you. It will advance you. Church is not just something you do to fulfill an obligation. Church is a shower, if you will. We're under a huge rain shower head here of the Holy Ghost speaking into your life to move you down the road, to get you going where you need to go, and to complete what God's called you to complete in life. How many of you know we got a limited time? We got to get this job done, and then we're out of here. Amen? So the Holy Spirit, the anointed word, revelation, will help you get done what God's called you to do. Let me give you an example of that. Turn to Joshua chapter 5. Wow. While you're turning there, while you're turning to Joshua, two things that revelation truth does. Number one, it could save your life. Number two, it'll keep you current where you need to be. Where you need to be. What do I mean by that, Scott? Well, if you come on Wednesday nights, I've been teaching a series on covenants. And we talked about the Old Covenant, the Mosaic Covenant, the Abrahamic Covenant, and the New Covenant. How many of you know we're under a new covenant, new agreement? Amen? We got new rules, new contract, new promises, new benefits. And the Bible refers to it. It says, these promises, you have a much better covenant than they did of old. Amen? We're under a much better agreement. How many of you would agree with that?
Yeah.
That's good. Listening to up-to-the-minute revelation will keep you current where you need to be. Where you need to be. I used to pray a lot of Old Testament prayers years ago in my Christian walk. Things like, Lord, create in me a clean heart. Okay? It's a good prayer from the Old Testament. David said that. He prayed that after he was addressed by the prophet, after he had sinned with Bathsheba. Create in me a clean heart, O God. That's a great prayer. But it's actually under an older covenant. Because the new covenant says, God says in Hebrews chapter 8, I will give you a new heart.
Yes.
So revelation truth will bring you current to where you need to be. Right now, revelation will get you current with the best part of the contract. That's why it's important to be in a church where they're preaching under the inspiration of the Holy Spirit, because you don't want to be walking as a New Testament believer under Old Covenant rules.
Amen.
It'll keep you in bondage.
Yes.
It'll keep you from having all the benefits that are freely yours. We got better benefits. They're yours, but you've got to know it by revelation. You have to know it by the inspiration of the Holy Spirit. So that's a couple benefits. Now, where are you? Joshua 5? All right, Joshua 5. Joshua 5, we're going to read verses 1 through 12. Now when all the Amorite kings west of the Jordan and all the Canaanite kings along the coast heard how the Lord had dried up the Jordan before the Israelites until we had crossed over, their hearts melted. I love that. It's good when your enemies' hearts melt. Their hearts melted and they no longer had the courage to face the Israelites. At that time the Lord said to Joshua, make flint knives and circumcise the Israelites again. And all the men fled to the forest. No. Verse 3. So Joshua made flint knives and circumcised the Israelites, at Gibeath Haraloth. Haraloth, however you say it. Now, if you look at the footnote, most of your Bibles, it'll say the hill of foreskins. If you take a flint knife, and I'm not trying to be crude here, but saints, this is how, this was quite a momentous day. This would have been carved into the staff, by the way. It would have been noted. Noted for the record. The typist would have, the court reporter would have noted, for the record, all the men of age were circumcised today. And we have this name here, which means the heel of foreskins. And when you have like nearly a million men who get circumcised in one day, you've got a heel of flesh. That's a whole lot of flesh. Am I trying to be crass? No. I'm trying to give you an up-to-the-minute word right here. Because we're in the beginning of 2019, and the Lord's been speaking to us for a month and a half now about being cleansed, being cleansed, being ready. And God said here to the Israelites, he says, before you go into the promised land, we got to cut away some flesh. We gotta deal with something. We gotta remove that which is gonna hinder you.
Wow.
This is really the meat of my sermon right here. All that other was intro. But the heel of foreskins was symbolic of that which would hinder them from moving forward into the promised land. Let's read on. Now this is why we did so. All those who came out of Egypt, verse 4, all the men of military age died in the desert on the way after leaving Egypt. All the people that came out had been circumcised, but all the people born in the desert during the journey from Egypt had not. The Israelites had moved about in the desert 40 years till all the men who were of military age when they left Egypt had died, since they had not obeyed the Lord. For the Lord swore to them they would not see the land that he had solemnly promised their fathers to give us, a land flowing with milk and honey. Verse 7. So he raised up their sons in their place, and these were the ones Joshua circumcised. They were still uncircumcised because they had not been circumcised on the way. And after the whole nation had been circumcised, they remained where they were in the camp until they were healed. How many of you say, thank the Lord? Before we move forward, let's get healed. Verse 9, then the Lord said to Joshua, today, this is a powerful, powerful, powerful verse. Today I have rolled away the reproach of Egypt from you. What happened last Sunday for many of you was the Lord rolling away the reproach of Egypt. He rolled away all the shame, the darkness, the bad lies that Satan's been trying to put in our mind for years. That's why we have prophetic people into this church. Because the Lord can speak with a hammer, with a fire, and he can break that stuff off your life. And God says here, here at Gilgal, I have rolled away the reproach of Egypt. On the evening of the 14th day of the month, while camped at Gilgal on the plains of Jericho, the Israelites celebrated the Passover. The day after the Passover, that very day, they ate some of the produce of the land. Wow. Fast forward. God is saying to us this year, it's going to be an abundant harvest. You remember that? 2019, the year of abundant harvest. Amen. But how are you going to get to your promised land? First, you got to stop at Gilgal. We got to take care of some business. Break out the flint knives. That's called the Holy Ghost. The Holy Ghost does the circumcision. In other words, he cuts away from our life everything that would keep us, everything that would hinder us from God's best. But then it says, right after that, they began eating of the produce of the land. Let's read it again, verse 11. The day after the Passover, that very day, they ate some of the produce of the land, unleavened bread and roasted grain. And the manna stopped the day after they ate this food from the land. There was no longer any manna for the Israelites, but that year they ate of the produce of Canaan. And I'm declaring to you today, the Lord is doing a cleansing work. He's doing a preparing work. Last week was the beginnings. There'll be more to come. That's why we sang it today. There's still more to come. Amen. The Lord's got some more cleansing he's doing in us. Why? He's preparing us to enter the promised land. We're stepping through Gilgal. Gilgal means to roll away. God said, I'm rolling away the reproach of Egypt. I'm rolling it off of your life. I'm getting all the works of Satan off of your life so you can move on in, just like a picture of a whirling wheel. You can just roll on into your promised land, baby. No hindrances. Amen? That's where we're going. We're rolling into our promised land. Praise the Lord. Let's end with Ephesians 3. Ephesians 3. Once you stand, we'll read it together. This is our seventh inning stretch. Ephesians 3:20. Go ahead and stand with me. Praise the Lord. Ephesians 3:20. While you're turning to Ephesians 3... No, I'm just kidding. I'm not going to give any more turning scripture sermons. Ephesians 3:20. Now to him who is able to do immeasurably more than all we ask or imagine, according to his power that it's at work within us, to him be glory in the church and in Christ Jesus throughout all generations, forever and ever. Amen. God is preparing us, saints, for great, great things. And we're going to be declaring it more in the days ahead. There's some mighty, mighty things He's going to do in your life this year. The kingdom will be coming.
Hallelujah.
And it will come through revelation. And God's preparing us. He's cutting away. All you have to do is say yes. Say yes to the Holy Ghost flint knife.
Yes.
It may not feel good at the time, but I'm telling you, once God rolls away the worldliness, the evil, the Satan's lies from our life, listen, your Father loves you. If you've believed a lie, if you've walked in darkness here or there, He loves you just the same. His love never ends. But He's in the process. He's in the business of rolling that junk out of your life so you can move on into your promised land. That's what Joshua 5 is all about. It's a symbol. The Bible says these are examples for us. It's an example for you and I to move into the great things, what Ephesians 3:20 talks about here, things more than we can ask, think, or imagine. Listen, you're a king's kid. You're a queen. You're a king. You're a child of God. And He's moving you into some great things in 2019. He's declared to us an abundant harvest. Whatever that means for you, it may mean something different for me. The Lord directs all of us according to, you know, our desires, our faith, the things that are important to our hearts. But God's moving us into a year of abundant harvest. And there's some cleansing to get us ready for that. All we do is say yes. Amen. Praise the Lord. Let's pray. Lord, we thank You for Your word. It's like a fire. It's like a hammer to do in us what You want to do to prepare us for great things. Oh, Lord, have Your way. Have Your way in us, Jesus. Make us Your people fit for the promised land, fit for every good inheritance in Canaan land, the great fruit, the unbelievably plush fruit of this land, the grapes that are the size of oranges and grapefruits that we hear described in the Bible. Father, that's for us. And You're leading us in. You're taking us into that great place, a blessing in You. I thank You, Holy Spirit, that as we say yes to You, as we yield to You, You're rolling off of our lives the reproach of Egypt. Rolling off of us the reproach of the enemy, so we're prepared for this promised land. We thank You, Father. We bless You. Let's just tell Him thanks for just a moment. Let's just thank Him for where He's taken us. He's our good shepherd. He's like Moses leading us in, like Joshua taking us all the way into the promised land. And He's going to take us there, saints. He's going to take us into every good promise. Everything you've been believing God for, it's coming to pass. Just hold on. Hold on and believe Him. Thank You, Jesus. Great things You have done. God, how great You are. Great things You have done. For everything we've seen, there's still more to come. Every victory, and every battle won. For everything we've seen, there's still more to come. Hallelujah. Thank You, Jesus. There's more to come. More to come in You. And we say, yes. Take us there, Jesus. Take us there, Jesus. If you're here today and you've been away from Jesus, you need to give Him your life. You need to surrender to Him. Just raise your hand right where you're at with our heads bowed for just a moment. Out of reverence for the Lord's presence, out of respect for one another's private lives. Lord, we thank You, Jesus. You're here to save. That's who You are. If you need Jesus to save you from your sins, or you say, I'm coming back to the Father today. I've been away and I'm coming home today. I'm coming back to Jesus. This is my day to return to Him. Just raise your hand real high. I'm not going to embarrass you. We're going to pray a prayer together. I'm going to just lead you in a prayer to get you there. Amen. Anybody at all? Thank You, Jesus. Praise the Lord. Well, praise God. We thank You for coming today. Thank You for worshiping the Lord. He's honored by Your presence. You know, if a dignitary, if royalty came to your house, you'd be honored by their presence. But Jesus is honored by yours. Thank You for coming and honoring Him today. We love you. We're praying for you. You need us, you call us. The battle gets thick. You just give us a shout and we're on the horn with heaven. Amen. We love you. God bless you. Have a great week.